We're good.
Get away from the recorder. The actual physical machine, not the individual. Okay. So we will call the Tuesday, December 8th, 7 p.m. City Council meeting to order, and we will start, as always, with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the
flag. United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all very much. Thank you for attending. Thank you for those who are watching from the luxury of their homes or hotels or wherever the heck you're all at. Bless you. Was that a sneeze? Bless you. Okay. And I think we need to now do a roll call by the clerk, please.
Folk?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Delshewski?
Here.
Clocher?
Here.
Bunkhauser?
Here.
Breeders?
Nay.
Tarulas?
Here.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Okay, and you know what I forgot to do at the beginning of the meeting is announce that because the governor has extended the emergency in the state of Illinois, we are allowed to do this by Zoom. For those who are out in Zoom land, the city council members, they're allowed to vote. But all votes do need to be by a roll call. I think we sometimes skip that for the adjournment. But just a reminder, and if you're voting yes, please say yes. If you're voting no, please say no, just so it's easier to pick up. So thank you very much. Okay, now we're on to amendments to the agenda. I have no amendments, but I do want to do, under the presentations, before we get to the band shell, I want to turn, I'm not turning my mayorship over to Mr. Funkhauser, no, don't worry about that, but I want to turn over the main screen and the mic here to the chief, Mr. Jensen, and Alderman Funkhauser from Ward 3. They want to talk about the Shop with a Cop program, and that's fantastic, so I'm going to get out of the way.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the time to talk here. This year, the chief had contacted me as I'm one of the members of the Kiwanis Club. So, our service is to children for Kiwanis, and the police department has been doing Shop with a Cop channel. They have raised funds from the officers themselves. So this year, with the challenges that have been posed with COVID and not being able to get together the way we normally would, they asked if we'd be willing to partner with them. So we agreed to, and we have been working with them and doing some fundraising. But what we've done, and I think everybody from the council, you all got this flyer that we had on how you can help, and I greatly appreciate those of you who have actually donated or have volunteered your time. This has been very helpful to us. So the Shop with a Cop program is a great program that provides gifts to children who have needs, whether they had a struggle this year with a loss of a family member or someone in their household, whether it's someone that's lost a job in their household. But there's many circumstances that the police department looks at, and what they try to do is find those households that do need support. And this year, right now, I'm going to turn over to JJ because he has the numbers for us on how many families are going to be serviced through this program. And it's really kind of touching because we've been able to do a lot with this. We try to do $35 to $50 per child per gift. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to JJ to talk briefly about what they've been able to do, and then at the end I'll ask them, I'll talk about the time that we have, and then what else we can do to help them.
Perfect, thank you. So we have, as a department, we're very fortunate. We have some amazing officers at the Yorkville Police Department who are just, amazing with their giving. And so we have currently raised $1,600. Between the officers and the Kiwanis Club members and the Yorkville aldermen, and which is amazing. and we will be servicing, so far we have 25 families, that, or I should say 25 kids. Some families have multiple kids with that family. And it's not just that, you know, a family is having financial difficulty. It could be an illness. It could be loss of a job. It could be divorce. Whatever it is, it's our goal is to make sure we see smiling faces for Christmas. So we're very blessed that this police department, this community has been very supportive of us. And it's time we give back to the community. So we appreciate the opportunity, which is fantastic.
And so in closing, we have our four ways that people can help, and we've had quite a few of you, offer that up. Our first thing, we have the shopping, which is going to be done this Thursday.
Cool.
So this is kind of our push. We're trying to raise the funds so we know how many families or how many children we can shop for. But that's going to happen this Thursday, so rather quickly. And then next week, if anybody has the opportunity to wrap presents or to ride around with an officer and deliver presents, Tuesday and Wednesday at 6 p.m. If the council members, or we have some other volunteers, I know our Kiwanis Club has volunteered several people. If you're up to helping out, we're still always looking for that. We're always looking for the financial support because it's a really great program. Like Jake just said, these families help. These kids will have some smiles on their faces that might not otherwise have had that. This is a really great program. So I'm very touched to have been asked for our club to join with you, Chief. And I'm glad that your officers have stepped up. I mean, what they did at Thanksgiving for seniors and now for these kids. I'm really proud of our city and our department. Thank you.
You have an amazing police department. They're great people. So, thank you.
And Chris, to whom do they make our checks?
Thank you to Rob, who set up an account for the police department so you can make it out to the Yorkville Police Department with a memo. Shot by the cop.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both. That was excellent. I appreciate it very much. I lost my pen again. So, good.
It's here. It's behind the yellow.
No, that's blue. I get red. God. No, I complain. I lose one out of every 2 minutes. Anyway, okay. Now we're on to the presentations listed on the agenda. And we have in front of us, from the Park Board, we have a riverfront van shell proposal. And Tim, are you out there somewhere? Do you want to give just a brief overview? And I think then we'll turn over to Boyd, maybe.
Yes, about a month or two ago, a group of citizens came to staff wanting to discuss potentially where the old Yak Shack building was of developing a van shell in that concrete pad area. So staff met with the individuals to discuss options and if it would be a good idea to move forward with it, to present it to the park board. At their November meeting, the board or the organization presented to the board their presentation. The park board was overwhelming in favor of moving forward to city council to get their opinions on potentially this group of residents acquiring the funds to develop a van shell at Riverfront Park. So I think Boyd and his group can kind of get in the details of the presentation that's in the city council packet.
Excellent, excellent. So Boyd, you have something for us tonight?
Well, first of all, I think it sounds like you may need a consultant down for your Zoom meetings. I'll come in and I think Tim will act on everything else, but no, really, thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Paul Mulligan, who's not here. Paul is a friend of mine who has a whole plan that we're working on. So I'll break down some of the detail. I'll fill in the blank for you.
Yeah, first off, thank you very much for having us and listening to our proposal to make Yorkville better. So.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Give us just one moment here, Paul. We're just checking our audio on our end here.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute the mayor's microphone, so hopefully you won't get an echo while you're speaking, and then we'll unmute it when you're done, and I'll share your presentation as you go along, if that's okay.
That's great. Fun, Bart. You're even better than a city administrator.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Mute
thank
boy,
you,
too.
All right, you're muted here.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2.
Perfect.
Sounds great. So, again, thanks for taking time to have us tonight. Yeah, this was something that I had showed many interest to certain people, and basically they all rallied behind me, and then I talked to Boyd about getting a group together and what we're going to have to do to try to get a van shell down by the river. And what our goal was is to basically do it by private funds. So there's a lot of great corporation and arts in Yorkville, and we are hoping that we could get this completely funded by private donations. So, and part of what I think Yorkville is so great about is it's artistic. I mean, there's so many things that make this community great, and yet we wanted to put some of that into this band shell, because if you go around the country and you look at these towns and their parks, you know, the really good towns have band shells to where they can show, you know, how good some of the locals are. So that's what we're trying to do. So, and I think the location down at the riverfront where the old Yak Shack is a perfect location. So
I can help fill in a few blanks. Paul is he's not the seasoned public speaker as I am. So right, Paul?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I run a business here in Yorkville doing fiber optics. So I'm used to talking technical about light waves and scatter and insertion loss. So
so anyways, Paul and I've known each other for a long time. He's helped out with Summer Solstice. He's been kind of integral in the development of the law office downtown, and he helped pitch in. Paul's a brilliant guy, and he's put together this non-for-profit called Patrons Launching Arts in Yorkville. Handpicked people that have the same goal in mind and the same mindset as he does, which is to really make Yorkville an entertainment spot and provide a real cultural center to downtown Yorkville. And the idea of the non-for-profit, if you look at other cities in the area, you have the biggest city, second biggest city in the state, Aurora, has a River's Edge amphitheater. That was publicly funded, so it was taxpayer dollars that built that. And now it's privately managed by Paramount Theater on behalf of the city. This is basically the exact opposite. The non-for-profits formed to be the time, talents, and treasures of the community to improve the riverfront with a van shell that's funded privately with no taxpayer dollars. And then the non-for-profit would ultimately manage it in concert with the city, in conjunction with a public-private partnership, but it's a non-for-profit that would run and manage the space on behalf of the city. So basically, all we want to try to do now is just, we think it's coming out of the pandemic with the opportunities that I think are going to be there for small communities to create an economic center. We have such a huge opportunity in Yorkville. And if we can get out and take private dollars and improve our riverfront with zero taxpayer dollar expense, with the city maintaining absolute control over the ultimate management of the structure, which would be, the details would be worked out as it goes. But basically at this point, all we really want to do is just get the city's blessing to turn this non-for-profit loose to try to get some interest generated, to try to meet with potential investors and see what kind of money can be raised. And that's really the only commitment the city has right now, is to do that. So with Paul's help and the group that he's got together, I mean, I'm just kind of providing some legal advice and kind of guiding them through that aspect of it. But they're really ready to go, and I think this is a huge, huge potential opportunity for the city of Yorkville. It could be a huge opportunity for other governments to try to emulate what we've done in Yorkville. I know other, and staff can attest to this, that
other governments have looked to Yorkville about, well, how do you guys do summer solstice? Well, it's worked out well because the city provides what the city's good at providing, and then you allow private enterprise to do all the behind the scenes work. So this is just really an extension of that. I think it could be a huge example as other governments need to come out of the pandemic and how things need to be done, because tax dollars are scarce. People can't afford to pay any more taxes, so we got to find creative ways to do that. So that's in a nutshell. So I appreciate the time.
Am I still on mute?
You are.
Oh, just tell me.
As you can see, this is the current location that we're looking at. So we've got a backdrop of some ComEd utility poles and that. So this is our team that we've got assembled so far. They're all local, and they're perfect for this goal that we're trying to meet. So. These are some of the things that we looked at, you know, at the location. We could do it as simple as, you know, some of the great fabricators in Yorkville do something very small, that, or we could do something, you know, more elaborate. But I think what it comes down to is we've got to get the go-ahead, and then we're going to find out what kind of support we have, and then we can kind of, you know, move forward on what funds we have and the support and what ideas that we start getting from the community of what they want too. So, but there are some beautiful band shells out there. So, basically, we're looking for guidance. We're looking for like the plat of the locations and the boundaries and some of the logistics that we're going to have to do, some of the engineering requirements that we're going to face, and then basically we're going to look at how much money we're going to have to raise. So.
Is that it for the presentation?
That's it for the presentation. I'm open for any questions.
Excellent. Well, I will turn it over to council members. Mr. Funkhauser, since you're here and I can see you, do you have anything? And you can come back later. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you're here.
I'll just say there were a few things that were said that I actually really liked. I do like that it's funded by private donations, that they tend to try to do this privately. That's fantastic for a community. It shows the engagement, the will to have something like this within the community. I do like the idea of a public-private partnership, but it actually be a private-public partnership with the private side taking lead. I think that's a very good turn on how things like this should work. So it's a great piece of the space. Obviously, there's a long road ahead to see if it can come to fruition, but this is a good start.
Excellent. Thank you. I will open up to other members of the council, and I cannot see any of you right now. So, if any of you have questions until I can see you, just take your time and ask them, please.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Frieders, first one I get to see. Thank you very much.
Hello. As one of the liaisons for the park board, when Boyd and Mully did the initial presentation, it was well thought out. They've got options. They know what they don't know, which I think is more important than thinking that you know what you need to know. So with a little bit more investigation on their end as far as what possibilities they have as far as the actual structure when it comes to the fact that, you know, we do lease some of that property from the train. So having to do with anything with the railroad is going to be a hurdle, but thankfully this wouldn't be on the public's dime. This would be a private investment into seeing what it is that we can do to make this thing happen. But as a founding laborer from summer solstice, I will tell you that we know that we can pack that entire park once it's safe to do so. And one of the biggest complaints that we've had is that there's too many options for what we currently have, and it's great for a public gathering space, but it isn't the best for sound. And knowing my friend Boyd and how picky he is, especially when how something sounds, if we want to have any chance at making Yorkville the destination that it was turning into pre-COVID, the popularity of the Summer Solstice Music Festival is not because Boyd just picks good bands. He does. But the reason why it's a great festival and why it's successful is we have businesses that are partnering with the government to make sure that we have a safe, easy to access location. And now we just want to take that next step and make sure that Summer Solstice can continue for years to come, of course, post-COVID. And if we have the opportunity to actually make something like this happen, to be able to use this as a template for other communities is another feather in the cap for Yorkville. And I think that's something that we're kind of learning, is that even though we've only got 19,000, 20,000 people here in Yorkville, if somebody wants to do something in this community and they have some time to actually put some thought into it and actually know how to take direction and take some suggestions from some government entities, you can pretty much do whatever the heck it is that you can dream up as long as you have a plan. So I think this is one of those areas where Boyd obviously knows what he's doing. Paul knows that he can build it with his eyes closed. We've got a group of people that can actually go out there and find the money to make this happen, and it wouldn't be on our dollar, but yet we would get to enjoy it. So I'm 1,000% for it, and I would encourage everybody else to high-five these people and the new sanitizer.
Thank you. Other aldermen? No other aldermen? So unless we hear people objecting to this, we're going to make an effort and go forward and get something worked out.
That's really good news, Mayor Purcell. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it too. I don't really do anything, but thank you.
Go Illini. You guys got to get the meeting done by 8:30 because Illinois is playing too. So.
Well, they already lost once to the ACC, boy. So.
Thank you all for your time, though. I appreciate it. We'll do our best, and we're going to try to do something.
Yeah, excellent. No, this is fantastic. We're excited about it too. We really are. So thank you very much. Now, you're all welcome to continue to watch our scintillating meeting, but if you don't want to, I understand. You want to get prepped for the big game at 8:30. Okay. So before we go to the public hearing, I just want to mention something about Tim, Mr. Evans. So Mr. Evans and I, we did not call each other about wearing twinsies shirts, but it sure looks pretty close, Tim, that we're wearing twinsies shirts. Next, we have a public hearing. I will now open the public hearing regarding the intent of the United City of Yorkville to sell not to exceed $8,250,000 in general obligation alternate revenue bonds for the purposes of the acquisition of the real property located within the city at 651 Prairie Point Drive in the vacant lot 2 adjacent, the conversion of the existing building into a new Yorkville City Hall, and the acquisition of fixtures, furnishings, and equipment for the use therein, and that City Hall would contain the police department, the use of additional police cars, the acquisition of additional police cars and a new police communication system, road construction and repairs, the renovation and repurposing of the existing Yorkville City Hall at 800 Game Farm Road, and that's what these monies could be used for. Doesn't mean it will be used for each one of those, but this way it's all encompassing as potential uses. Now that the public hearing is open, I will ask, are there any members of the public here at City Hall who have any comments? I see no public here at City Hall with comments. I will ask if there are members of the public in Zoom land who have have any comments. I hear none. Having heard no comments, I am looking for, or do I just make a motion close? Do I just close myself? I forget.
You can just close the public hearing.
Okay.
I
will just close the public hearing. Perfect. Public hearing is now closed. Thank you all very much. Okay, now we are moving on to citizen comments on the agenda. Again, there are no public members here at City Hall. I'm looking, no one's walking in. Are there any members of public in Zoom land who would like to comment on items on the agenda?
No. No.
I hear none. We will move on to Ms. Milshewski's favorite part of the meeting. And I am looking for, from Ms. Milshewski, a motion to approve the consent agenda with the 2 minutes and the bills as listed.
I'll move.
Second by Mr. Koch. All right, I like that. And I'm told there's no discussion on this, but we won't have any discussion. But we will require a roll call, please.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Carulas?
Yes.
Tranzier?
Yes.
Bocher?
Yes.
Readers?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the mayor's report. And before I get to the written items, I just want to mention a couple things. Unfortunately, they're sad. As Tim informed me, Ray Cervantes, I believe I pronounced his name correctly, who was a coach for the soccer league, for the youth soccer league for many years. In fact, he just recently coached my daughter's team just less than 2 months ago. The poor individual passed away just over the weekend, and he leaves behind several children, and in fact, one of them was on the soccer team, who's a young child. So just keep his family in your thoughts. It's never good to lose a parent, especially when you have young kids, and obviously this time of year is tough. So please keep your family in mind. And then another individual who we had the good fortune to present a 100-year-old certificate to earlier this year, Mr. John Schneider. He recently passed away as well. And as you know, John, he worked up until he was like 89 years old, and just a good member of the community. So please keep their families in mind. Next, we have the tax levy for fiscal year 22, correct. But for the calendar year of 20 to be assessed in 21. And I'm looking for a motion to approve the tax levy resolution requesting separate limiting rates for all city funds and an ordinance for the levy assessment of taxes beginning May 1st, 21 for the fiscal year and ending April 30th, 22. Could I get that motion, please?
Motion.
By Mr. Cruz.
Second.
Second by Milshewski. Rob, if you could just give a quick summary of what we finally did here, please.
Sure. What we did is that we increased the meaning last year's levy by the new construction amount only, which we settled on at $383, which is a 2.7% increase over the prior year.
Rob, you cut out for a moment. That was $88,383 for the new construction?
That's correct, Mayor.
Thank you. And those are the most current numbers we have from the county, correct?
Correct, as of November 30th.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Okay, are there any comments, questions from council? Mr. Tranzier, you look like you were ready to say something. Did you have anything? Oh, it looks like you're stepping up to the microphone like that. Okay.
Not right now, thank you.
No, thank you. Any comments from council?
Mr. Mayor.
Who's that? Oh, Mr. Frieders, right in the middle. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for waiting the last 2 weeks to get this ironed out so it made perfect sense on both the ordinance and the memo. So thank you for waiting.
Oh, my pleasure. Actually, that staff gets that credit, but I appreciate that. Thank you. Other comments or questions? Seeing or hearing none, we'll do a roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Carulas?
Yes.
Tranzier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, looking for a motion to approve 2020-86, an ordinance authorizing the sixth amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year beginning on May 1st, 20 and ending April 30th, 21st, regarding the Local Cure Economic Support Program.
So moved.
I think I heard Milshewski and Peterson. That's at least who I thought I heard. And I'll
yes,
let Rob and or Bart correct me on this, or maybe even Aaron, but based on the direction from the last meeting, this would allocate $200,000 of funding that we receive from the state towards our program to help local businesses and grants. And just to follow up, we are still waiting to hear from the state, although the state did give us direction that they apparently liked their application, but they wanted us to refine a couple of things, resubmit a couple of things, and we're hoping to hear in the next week or two, but we don't know at this point. So now that we have this on the table, is there any discussion? Mr. Frieders.
So this is essentially us being able to move forward with front funding for the $200,000 and get this thing off the ground immediately, correct?
That is correct, sir. That was the request of the council at the last meeting.
Awesome. So after we vote on this, I know this is going to be, it's kind of like, it's in tandem with what Alderman Funkhauser and Chief Jensen were talking about as far as making sure that some local kids have, you know, less of a dumpster fire at Christmas during their first global pandemic. I understand that we have a mechanism for helping out businesses, and I'm incredibly thankful that staff took to our recommendations and suggestions that we do something now, regardless of whether or not the state can, you know, pull money out of thin air. But I think the next question that we have to ask ourselves is how can we directly help those residents of Yorkville who are suffering due to whether it's being unemployed because of COVID or health restrictions, whatever it might be. I know that we have a mechanism for helping businesses, but I definitely challenge the rest of the council and city staff to help figure out a way to utilize some of the extra funds that we have left over after this $200,000 to make sure that we can help those Yorkville residents who live here who are having an issue, who might not work for a local Yorkville business that might be receiving some of these grant funds. I know that some other cities have done, you know, credits on water bills and trash bills, but that doesn't put food on the table. So I think, yes, we've just crossed a huge milestone, and I'm incredibly thankful. But I do think we need to have a discussion about how do we do something right now to assist. Maybe it's one meal. I'm not even sure how to do that. But we've gone this far. It's now time to actually take a look at this and see what's our opportunity. What is the possibility of directly helping Yorkville residents with some of this extra cash?
Thank you for your comments. Other comments regarding the motion here on the table?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to second what Joel just said about helping the community.
Thank you, Mr. Koch. Mr. Funkhauser.
This is great that we're able to do this. I know it was a very clear direction we wanted to find, so this is good that we're moving it forward. The only question I have is, this is going to be done on merit-based review with the mayor, our GDC consultant, and the administrator. Do we have any transparency on how that's going to be, the review's going to be done? That's my only question, my only thoughts that we have on this, since this is an internal process.
We haven't discussed, quite frankly, like a ranking basis at this point. I know one of the concerns I have is I want to be able to look at businesses that have not received other state grants as one of the criteria. And then we will obviously have a list of who we've awarded funds to as we award them.
It would be really nice to, I understand it's, you've got the application, but it's merit basis is how it's worded in the memo. It'd be nice to kind of have a little more definitive outline of what we're going to be looking at. But that's a great point. If you're talking about people who have not received funds to date, that's great that we're considering those who have not been able to acquire funds from other grants or other means through this time. So if we have some of those that can be brought forward as this progresses, I think.
So great question and great point. We can, when we go forward, we'll bring through some of the ideas that we've talked about in rank, as far as having a formal ranking system, point system brought to the city council before we do this.
I don't want to slow it down.
Okay, I just want to make sure you understand.
Where I'm going with it is, let us know what is being done so that
absolutely.
There are questions, because we want this to move pretty quickly. So.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I know that Oswego system was not published ahead of time either, how they're selecting it. So I guess my recommendation would be a list of all the applicants, you know, that meet whatever window that we end up publishing, so that everybody can see who's applied and then dot. And then I think we can do some sort of verbal update at some point.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Maybe we can send out email updates as we go along. And they're great questions. I'm not trying to be evasive. I know one of the concerns I brought up several times is that, and I think Mr. Friedo, he kind of alluded to this, there's some haves and have-nots, and I don't mean nobody that people aren't struggling. A lot of people are struggling. A lot of businesses are struggling. But there's some businesses that have not received anything from the state, and I want to consider that, you know, as one of the factors, just to give you an idea. So.
Very good.
Okay. Okay, now I see Mr. Funkhauser's face on my screen. Anyone else? Mr. Friedo, I see your hand up, I think.
Yeah, just to kind of expound on what you just said, I think the description in the memo of being non-quantitative is probably the best way to go about it, because there's going to be 1,000 different factors. You could have a business that's local that has taken some grant monies from other locations, but still has more employees, but they're still working. So this is something where you are going to need someone who potentially owns a local small business. I'm sure you know someone. Also someone who has had a hand in divvying out grant funds before. There's a couple people on this Zoom that have done just that. I think the fact that we have a kind of plan, but don't have hard and fast rules, is one of the reasons why this is gonna work. It will be in your best interest to put your human hat on and your small business hat on at the same time. We're gonna let the bureaucrats be bureaucrats, but we have to be able to support them with real humanity. And that's where I think the small business owner that happens to be the mayor right now might have more of a impact on these decisions as we move forward. So I'm just excited to get this thing out of the stable.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's quite honestly, Joel, that's to me the biggest reason why Lynn needs to be involved. She actually is in touch with more of these businesses every day than even I am. So, I mean, I speak
just
to lots of
screw up and everything will be fine.
I'm sorry?
Just don't screw up and everything will be fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Other comments? Hearing none, let's do a roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Butcher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Moszewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That is fantastic. Thank you all very much. That really is fantastic. Okay, next item we have. I'm looking for a motion to approve the meeting schedule for 2021.
Hello.
Okay.
By Milshewski and Frieders. Is there any discussion? Hearing or seeing none, roll call.
I think it's a suggestion.
Who is that, Mr. Culp?
Frieders.
Mr. Frieders? Sorry. Go ahead, please.
I would like to move to have the meetings every Monday at 5:30 p.m. every Monday.
There's a motion to amend to move the meetings to every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Hearing no second, that amendment dies. Okay, to the regular motion. Now, if you had said 4:30, I would have held it longer. But, okay, any other discussion? Now we'll do a roll call, please.
Chirulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Next, we're on the Public Works Committee report. And whose report is this?
That would be mine.
Mr. Plocher.
I only have one tonight. That would be PW 2020-66. A motion to approve an ordinance amending the Code of Ordinances regulating on street parking in Black River Lane and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second by Mr. Funkhauser. I will open up to comments or questions. Mr. Funkhauser, do you have anything since you're in the office here or the council?
Sure. I added this to the public works agenda. We discussed this. This was something that when the townhomes were coming through for Kendall Marketplace, parking concerns were brought up, and this was something that had been discussed at that time. I reached out to the residents recently, talked to them about this, and generally they were in favor. I know there is a letter in here in the packet of one of the residents that would prefer no parking at all on the street or no overnight parking. My recommendation from communications with the residents and what our typical policy is to maintain what we have for proposal in front of us. I think this will satisfy a lot of concerns and problems down the road for parking. This is our typical no parking on the high end side of the street type of scenario. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Funkhauser. Other questions, Mr. Frieders, do you have anything or comments?
Yeah, I think listening to the residents in this particular issue, it's probably the wisest move since there's only a few houses over there and we do know how jam-packed it can get when there's actual baseball games going on. So I think this is a wise move to get started. And it's just like anything else in government, if something's not working, let's talk about it, we can revamp it. So I think making a move on this immediately before those townhomes are finished is the right idea.
Thank you very much. Other comments from aldermen? Let's do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yep.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Leschewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chiroulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Anything else, Mr. Plocher? I assume that's a no. I don't know where he went to. He disappeared. He's done. Okay, now we're on EDC. This is Ms. Milschewski.
Yes, I have EDC 2020-53, an ordinance repealing an incentive program for the construction of new homes. So I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance repealing an incentive program for the construction of new homes and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
That happened.
I think I heard or saw Mr. I'm going to give it to Mr. Chiroulis. He's been quiet. Sorry, Mr. Frieders.
That was me.
Excellent. Thank you, Seaver. Okay. This is a program that's several years old. I don't think anyone realizes or thinks there's a real need for it now. We have a booming construction season going. We'll have over 300 new homes this year. That's my piece on it. Others? Other aldermen? I guess aldermen. Mr. Funkhauser.
I know I did speak with a couple of the developers, and I know there's a small amount of interest on this. It is a cost-benefit analysis here. And while it does help them, we do see a benefit to a few of these developers who are using the program. We're not seeing as many as we thought we would. So when I look at this, there are developers who have interest. They're using it slightly for these couple that have actually engaged in it. But the majority of our developments are not using it. So while I see there are benefits, overall there are some costs, about $60,000 a year, or $60,000 total through the program, about $10,000 a year. I think we're doing well enough without the program at this point. Unfortunately for those couple that do use it, this is going to go away, but the cost is, we're doing pretty well, I think, without it.
Thank you. Other comments? Hearing or seeing none, we'll do a roll call, please.
Usher?
Yes.
Breeders?
Yeah.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Oshuski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Genzier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Ms. Milshewski?
That is all from EDC.
So I have
chickens one will come. The chickens will come.
Okay, I'm encouraging you all, please make a recommendation one way or the other just for staff's sake.
No, we're moving ahead.
Okay, and if you bring something forward, please don't make it too complex. I don't want to have a lot of staff time, whether it's issuing permits or enforcement time from the police. So thank you very much, though. I appreciate it. Okay, Public Safety Committee, is there a report?
There is no report.
Thank you. Admin Committee, do we have a report?
No report, and our meeting for next week has been canceled in order to help facilitate the shopping cart.
Okay, so in case you didn't all hear that, the Admin Committee report for next week has been canceled. Park Board, anything else, Mr. Evans?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Christy, anything from the Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
City Council report, Mr. Frieders, do you have anything?
Mr. Mayor.
Other members of council? Okay. Community and liaison reports, anything?
You forgot the city clerk.
Oh my God. Well, seeing there's no community liaison reports, Lisa, I apologize, and Jackie, thank you. City clerk's report, anything?
Yes. No report, Your Honor.
Staff report?
No reports.
Okay, so we have a couple of written items under the mayor's report, but I want to bring up couple other items that aren't on here. Now, Bart sent out a memo yesterday regarding a sign at a local business, the Paradise Car Wash. And our current sign ordinance does not allow them to replace a portion of the sign. They have two boxes on their sign, a big one and a little one down below it. Our current ordinance does not allow them to replace it. It's a message board where they change out the letters by hand. And they want to change it with an LED message board, which you see multiple places now. And the sign is a couple inches, I think it was 3 or 4 inches wider and about 3 inches taller. So it's almost identical size. Somebody driving by wouldn't know the difference. And it's a $29,000 sign install. And our current ordinance does not allow that. So I'm gonna have staff bring back some language. We're gonna work together, bring back some language to update that. I think we're trying like heck to help these businesses. We just talked about a couple $100,000 to penalize a business for an ordinance that, in my opinion, just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think is not good. So I'm going to instruct staff to issue the permit, and I'm going to bring an ordinance back. Probably a couple months before we get it back, we'll go through the process, but we're going to bring that back. So I wanted to give you an update, just so you. If you have any questions, you can direct them to me. But that's what we're going to do. And if you have any comments now, I'll take those comments. And if not, we'll bring back the ordinance. Mr. Funkhauser.
So we had this ordinance in place and we've gone through a couple of revisions. So all the businesses who have complied with this, we didn't feel that they were being penalized at the time. So I understand we've got some financial challenges in front of every business right now. You know, my thought and my concern is we've had quite a few businesses who have either been turned down for a similar type of request and then they had to turn around and comply with the ordinances, or they've just not done anything with it. But the intent is to turn around these signs and bring them up to what our code is, what the look is, and the aesthetic. I really feel bad for all those businesses who did comply with it and spent the money to do it, and now we're turning the other way to say that doesn't matter. So I want us to be cognizant of that, of all the businesses who have gone through this process before and have complied. And I understand financial hardships are there right now. I get that completely. But I mean, this is nothing new with this sign ordinance. It's been in place for quite a while now. We've had a couple weeks to it over time. But we need to be really cognizant of all of those businesses who did comply, who went through that financial side or updated their sign. Because yes, everybody has outlined in our comprehensive plan and our zoning ordinance who are legal non-conforming, but if they want to do something that's outside of that tolerance, they've got to update it. So before we just run this straight ahead, I think we need to have some conversations about that. And I'm not really keen on authorizing the permits immediately, because I think maybe there's some process with that, with the variance process in order to get that. I'm not certain, but or attorney could opine on that type of a process.
There is a process. There is a process, you're absolutely correct. I will authorize this permit. I will sign it if I have to myself. I will give staff direction. I understand your concerns. I understand the concerns of other businesses who may in the past have not had this change. But the council and the mayor are allowed to change ordinances. And that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna change this very narrow ordinance. And Chrissy even pointed out to me during the what do you call it, Chrissy? The UDO process? We're going to be looking at the sign ordinance. That's part of what we're going to look at. But this is a very narrow one. These signs have been there for 20 or 25 years. I personally think it's ridiculous that we would say to a business, you want to improve an existing sign that's been there for 20 years, that we're going to tell them no. This person has told me they're spending close to $30,000 on this sign. And to replace the whole sign could be $50,000 or $70,000 or $80,000. I'm just not going to do that. I understand your concern. That's why actually Kathy and Bart suggested that along with this, we come back with an ordinance change that deals with this very narrow topic. So, good question.
Can this unilaterally legally be done by the mayor?
It's going to be.
I'm sorry. We have processes. Just like changing this ordinance is going to require a public hearing, it's going to require the planning commission. There's a whole process to how these things work, and that's my concern, is that there are rules in place for readers.
Your concerns are noted. Mr. Frieders.
Yeah, just as every time this topic comes up, if it doesn't impact public safety via sight lines or somebody's going to get decapitated, if it doesn't distract people and it's as bright as one of the signs that was already on Route 47 that got approved that was so bright that it would hurt people's eyeballs, if it doesn't offend people, not that it could, if it does not get in somebody's way when they're attempting to make a left or a right-hand turn, as long as it does not impact someone's life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness, go ahead and spend your money. I don't think this is something that we need to be pulling out the Constitution and getting gavel-banging about. This is a local business, the sign that's been there forever, it's kind of old, those letters blow off, that's a public safety hazard. So I think, yeah, it sucks that we have this ordinance in place and it's to pretty up the place and we don't like lollipop signs, blah, blah, blah. Right now, I don't think it matters that that sign ordinance was put in place a decade or so ago. Right now, what matters is somebody wants to get a leg up and try to maybe improve their business, because we have authorized the construction of another car wash in town. Not that we have any place to throttle someone else's ability to make money, but we have an opportunity here to understand that government can either be stupid the way it has been, or it can be human. That's what we're attempting to do. So do it.
Thank you. Other comments?
Yes.
Mr.
I see this as an improvement, and I would hate to stand in the way of an improvement, especially along that corridor. So I'm with you.
Thank you. Other comments? Thank you all, I appreciate it. Now, next thing I have is, well, you know, the last thing that's not written, I'll wait till after the written reports, because this last one will be fun. Well, at least I think it will be. So, okay, we'll go on to the budget update. Do we have anything, Bart?
There is actually no update from what was discussed in the last city council meeting. Sales tax should come in tomorrow, hopefully, so we'll know more then.
Excellent, Thank you. Rob, did you have anything to add to that no report?
You not? No report.
Perfect. Okay, next we have the Prairie Point building update. Bart?
Yeah, a couple things outlined in the memo, just so everybody's aware. Our due diligence period on the acquisition of the building and the main property does end Friday. Pete Rados has led the due diligence inspections with multiple consultants and other governmental entities over the past few weeks. He has concluded that and found nothing in the building that would cause him concern for us to move in there. So it's in pretty good shape, being relatively modern and to his comments, overbuilt for the type of building that it is, which is good news. Accordingly, we do plan on closing on the building next week. So that is scheduled and the attorneys are working on final issues related to it. There is cost estimates related to the reshaping and parking lot improvements of the adjacent property and then the private streets of Prairie Point Drive and the other street, the Crimson Lane, that are going to be eventually owned by the city. The cost estimate to repair those, according to our current standards, is just shy of $500,000. However, not all those improvements have to be complete before we move in. We did cost estimate the ADA-related parking lot improvements that we will have to do if we do nothing else to the building in order to move in. And so I will forward that to the City Council so they can see that and put it in the next packet. But the ballpark range is $120,000, with some options there, depending on what we do with the layout of the property. And of note, in Pete Rados' memo, he did itemize an additional $10,000 of interior ADA improvements in bathrooms and stairwells, etc., that we would have to do at minimum before we move in. And then on the planning process, we do have meetings scheduled next week between the architects and staff on Tuesday and Wednesday. They're going to then crunch that feedback over the next few weeks before they then return to Jim and I probably mid-January. So I'm hoping that on the January 12th City Council meeting, we'll have some early feedback on kind of what they're thinking before we then round out that feedback and hopefully wrap things up here in January and February. I did include the comments that were kind of a written outline of notes from the 2005 space needs analysis that the department heads had reviewed, just to give them a give the architects a base level of knowledge on kind of where we've been and where we think we're going. And so hopefully we'll get some feedback from the architects here in the next couple weeks. And if anybody has any questions about any of that, I'm happy to take it.
Bart, one thing I didn't follow up with, and you may have responded, and see, there was a request that we keep some type of tally or something of the improvements as we get those along.
Yes, we did start to do that, and I would anticipate that by the end of this week we'll have at least an initial list of things that are already known, things that we are going to guess on and put a placeholder in so we can get cost estimates, like the cost of a generator, and a couple of the other improvements on the interior of the building, and then that we can kind of use that to keep score as we go along.
So thank you for the alderman who requested that. That was a great request. I do appreciate it. I'm sorry I didn't reply to that email. Okay.
That's okay.
I wasn't trying to say who did it, but thank you. Questions or comments from council? Ms. Jackie.
So the architects and everything are meeting with staff. Is there being any consideration that some aldermen might be able to be involved in this too?
So we had talked about it in the context of the steering committee, which was the question that was asked and then discussed at the last city council meeting. And so the initial recommendation from staff and the mayor was that we wouldn't do a steering committee with elected officials. As far as elected officials participating in the interview process, we did contemplate that as questions are brought up and that as discussion points are made here through these verbal updates, we would then take that feedback to the architects then. So we had not necessarily planned like, you know, a half hour, hour with each alderman to ask them what they like about the building, what they don't like. We did set up something individually for the mayor. So we're doing like groups of employees, like clerk's office, finance, front desk people, different police operations. And so we did have the mayor as an elected official because they do have, he does have a permanent office currently, to kind of give feedback about the existing building. So we had not planned to have the aldermen have individual meetings, but I guess that could be discussed if everybody wants to do it.
So what I would say to that is, it's a great question. As I said last meeting, if you have some comments or questions or input you want to direct, send it to Bart in email. And if you want to talk to the staff for a few minutes, that's fine. I'm not looking to do a committee, though, but I have no problem with aldermen giving their input. That's definitely...
I'm not looking at a committee. I just didn't know if there were some people, you know, some of our aldermen have expertise maybe in this. You know, Cedar's worked in, as a background working with, you know, buildings and stuff. And, you know, maybe there, you could pull on some of that expertise while we're going through this. And then it doesn't have to be a steering committee.
Yeah, I like that. We'll figure out a way to incorporate some of that. I think that's a good idea. As long as we're staying away from steering committee, because those things
are going to bog down. Yeah, no, I'm not looking at a committee, but maybe if, you know, somebody would maybe like to be a liaison, let's say, or the city.
Offer to be a consultant for $180 an hour, sir.
Well, as long as it's under 30 grand, I think I can authorize it. It's a 25 grand.
I accept. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other comments? Good comments.
I have one comment, Mr. Mayor.
Please, Seymour.
I'd just like to make note and recognize that this country lost one of its heroes this week, General Chuck Yeager. Was an individual I met as a young child right after he had broken the sound barrier, being the first pilot to do that. And I think this country lost a hero, one of its great heroes this week, and just wanted to make note of it.
Seymour, I appreciate that very much. That is an excellent point. And along those lines, I know we're a day late, but yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, and I know as we get older, younger kids aren't familiar with the history of World War II. I think that's an important one to remember, too. So thank you for pointing that out, Seymour. I appreciate that. Okay, so anything else on the building? Now, as I promised, I have one thing, but I have to step aside. Am I off? 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 Okay.
It's fun.
So I would like to thank the person who brought me this hat as a Christmas gift. Very, very nice. I think it's a Grinch. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's a frog. And I've been called a Grinch. So
that's Shrek, sir.
Is this Shrek? I thought it was a Grinch.
No,
what is it?
It's Yoda.
Okay.
Not Yoda, that's Shrek.
Yoda.
Well, we may have to put this on the next meeting to vote on what it really is. So anyway, I wanted to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. I'm sure I'll be talking to many of you, if not all of you, before then. But we do not have a meeting scheduled, and I don't think anyone wants to meet the 22nd of December, quite frankly. So that's all I have. And is there any additional business?
Motion to adjourn, sir.
Oh, wait, not quite. Citizen comments. Hearing none, no objection.
Yes, one quick question for the record. The Cures Amendment, it is being front-funded by the reimbursement money from the police and so on.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
The Cures funding, the $200,000 that's being used with the reimbursement from the police and all of that.
The Cures money was money from, was it state or federal? Was it federal through state?
Federal
via state. So some of it was considered police time. There were some other items too, but police time was a big factor, and that's where that money's coming from, correct?
Okay, got it. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Any other questions from the press? I always forget that one. Okay, Mr. Frieders?
Your motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, sir.
There's Shrek. Second. Did I hear a second? Mr. Chiroulis, I think, did. I don't know. Okay. Well, all in favor, signify by yes.
Roll call.
Oh, roll call. Is there anyone in opposition? I declare it all unanimous yes. Thank you. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
You can't see me. Merry Christmas, everybody. I wore my red hat to go with the mayor's new hat. My red hat.
So there's no executive session.
No executive session. No executive session.